Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to see you all here. We're really happy that everyone is here, both the regular attendees and the visitors, and we're very keen to get to know you. We want to learn to know you, and we welcome you here. Today's a special service. As you know, it is called Resurrection Day. This is what I like to call it. Some people call it Easter, but I think it's more fitting to call it Resurrection Day. And we're here this morning in honor of Jesus rising from the dead, and he is the first fruits of those that were dead and those that will live. Out here in the grave, out here in the graves beside the church, all those that are in the grave shall arise. Some to the resurrection of life, some to the resurrection of damnation. We need to reckon with that fact. This morning, I am pleading with you, I am calling for you to prepare your life in such a way that when you come to that final resurrection that's talked about in John 5, 28 and 29, that there will some raised to the resurrection of life and some to the resurrection of damnation. The question is yours. There are only two ways this morning. There's not another way. There's not a third way. There's not a gray area. It is a way, there is the way of life and the way of death. I want to tell you this morning, it's a serious choice. I would like you to turn with me to, there are so many passages on the resurrection, I wasn't sure how many to talk about this morning, but I'd like to go to Luke 24 to start off this message this morning. And, a couple days ago on Good Friday, we celebrated the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and what all that is, that we die to self and die to, we as people die like Jesus did, die to self. We appropriate that. But I'd like to look at Luke 24 and read the first 9 verses here and to use this to start off the message this morning. 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week. Isn't that special? The first day of the week. That's what this is. The first day of the week. First worship on the first day of the week. Previous to this, the Jews had always worshipped on the Sabbath. Now it is changed to the first day of the week. Very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. Now these were women. It says up in the 23rd chapter in verses 55, and said, the women also which came from Galilee followed after, and behold the sepulchre, and now his body was where his body, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now these women went to the tomb where Jesus was, and they looked down in there, and they found not the body of Jesus. We all know that. We've heard that story since we were little, since we can understand that Jesus' body was gone. And it came to pass they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, the two men stood by them in shining garments. Two men beside this tomb. And as they were afraid, bowed down their faces on the earth and said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you that when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. An amazing supernatural event had happened here. And today I ask you this question. The title of this sermon is what the angels told them. He is risen. But I ask you the question, and it's part of my title this morning. He is risen. Are you? Are you? Are you risen with Christ? It makes all the difference, folks. I want to be very clear here. To be risen with Christ is not a physical happening, but it's a spiritual renewal that happens with inside your breast. And I'm calling you tonight to think about this. And are you risen? Are you changed? Are you changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ? Have you been risen? Are you risen? There's no longer a sepulcher holding us down. There's no longer death is holding us down. You know, we are all subject to death. We are spiritually dead. We are born as people that are subject to death, and we die. As we come to the age of accountability, we die. We know that death has gotten a hold of us. And I know when I was dead, I was into many things, and I was dead. And I was, specifically, I was into immoral behavior, and I was dead. And I was in bondage, like the song said this morning, that I was in bondage to that thing, and I wanted to get free from it. And I'm going to tell you this morning how I got free eventually. But today, he is risen. Are you? Are you? We want a church full of risen people. That takes care of the problems of humanity. He is risen. Are you? Now let's turn over to Romans. I think we need to travel around in the scriptures a little bit today, a little bit this morning, and trust you'll bear with me. Let's go to Romans 6. We're going to come back there and talk about Romans 6. But in the verse 5, to start off the message, is that it says, "For we have been if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Folks, men, women, brothers and sisters, all under the sound of my voice, there is a path in which we take to be right with God, to be risen with him, and that is to be planted together in the likeness of his death. That means coming to brokenness and willingness to follow Jesus and to follow him in completeness and to walk with him and to walk as Jesus walked. And then, dear ones, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. Again, a well-known passage. well-known verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What a beautiful idea. What a beautiful words these are. That we can be justified. We can be made just with God. Job said, how can man be just with God? David said the same thing. How can man be just with God? And today, dear ones, we can be just with God because we have faith in Him. We have peace through God, our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You know, the access roads onto the four-lane highway is what I think about when I think about this word access. We have the access to get on there, and it feathers us into the traffic, and we get access into the four-lane road. But dear ones, this morning, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. My question to you this morning is, have you been justified by faith first? Have you come to a relationship with Jesus Christ that you know you are justified by Him? And this morning there can be a lot in this, but do you have peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented? Have you died to sin? And then, dear ones, the special part is that we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Dear ones, this morning, we have this resurrected life to live. We know that we are living in the flesh. We still have the old man dwelling within us. We have this flesh to deal with. But dear ones, it is only through justification and access by faith into this grace wherein we stand that we are going to live out our risen Lord's desires. Well, the question might be answered then is, what is the resurrected life? Well, number one is the Spirit of God is in you. Today, do you know that? That the Spirit of God is in you. Let's turn to Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Jesus rose from the dead. There was a power of God that made Him rise. On the third day, He rose again and He vanished, and they didn't know where He was at. The same Spirit raises you, takes our mortal bodies, these sin-cursed bodies, and by His Spirit that dwelleth in you, quickens us and raises us. He will quicken our mortal bodies. And the glory of the resurrection is this, that He will dwell in our bodies. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken or make alive our mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. The fact that we can have this presence of the Holy God dwelling with us in the form of the Spirit is an astounding thing to me. And it's preached throughout the New Testament, and it's held up as the risen life. The fact that we can have the Spirit dwell in us and give us resurrection power is an astounding fact. This, dear ones, is a present reality for you as Christians. Can you live? Are you living? Are you living? Are you living? That's the question. Or are you dead? This week at a funeral in a Mennonite church near here, the lady pastor referred often to the Easter Sunday that was upcoming and the resurrection of Jesus. I can't judge her heart, and I will let that up to God. I can rest in the fact that he will judge according to righteousness. I did, however, let my mind wonder about the evidences of the resurrected life that seemed to be missing in her life. For instance, just a small thing, separation from the world. The question is often posed, the angels were there at the tomb. You know, as I studied for this message, I realized that that's a very important question for us, too. The angels at the tomb posed the question to the ladies that had came there. They said, why are you seeking the living among the dead? Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Now, this morning, I asked that question to myself and to all that are sitting here. Why do so often we seek for the living things among the dead things of this world? That's the question. Why are we seeking living things among the dead? We want a Jesus that offers eternal life. But we don't want a Jesus that demands crucifixion and death to self. And the reality is this. You cannot have the resurrection without death. Death always precedes life. We think that life precedes death. Well, in Christianity, it's clear different. Death precedes life. Much of the Mennonite church has fallen prey to the broader American culture of sweeping into our ranks. The affluence is one. Lust is another. I am appalled. I'll say this as a bishop in the church, I'm appalled at how badly we're doing in the area of lust. That is horrendous. The Bible clearly says, if you walk after the lust of the flesh, you shall die. We have the silent acceptance and the cultural influences of broken marriages and divorce, entertainment, gospel. Oh, that's a big one in my mind. The entertainment gospel that makes the resurrection look like it's a holiday. when we forget about the death that precedes the resurrection, the information age through the computer and the internet is definitely dulling our senses, spiritual senses, and seeping away our spiritual life, our risen life. Of course, there on the other side, there's a significant deception in our plain churches being dead formalism and legalism toward the details of performance and not really living in the risen life of the with the Spirit of God. The songwriter says so quietly and simply, the things of life will grow strangely dim when you're risen with him. I would like to look now at the potential of the resurrection. Turn with me to Romans 8 and verse 2. For the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. How many of you are excited about that this morning? That because we are risen, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free, freedom from the law of sin and death. There's a law with God that if you sin, you'll die. But through Jesus Christ and his resurrection, we are made free from that law of sin and death. Let's go to Romans 2, or to Acts 2. Peter talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 23 of Acts 2, the Pentecost sermon, when the Spirit came down and laid upon their hearts in a real way, when he preached, that was the start of the church. He said these words in verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and have, by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom hath God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. And there's a lot more I could read properly, but let's just jump down to verse 31. It says, he seeing this before the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, nor his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which we now see and hear. Peter said it was impossible that Jesus should be holden by the pains of death. And then in verse 33 it says, he has shed forth this, the promise of the Holy Ghost. He has shed forth this, which we now see and hear. Tonight to this morning, if you have the Holy Ghost within you, you are risen indeed. I think it's crucial that we understand what it takes to accept Jesus Christ in in his completeness and in his fullness this morning. I would like to go now to Revelation chapter 5, maybe just a little different chapter for a resurrection sermon, but I would like to go to Revelation 5, and I would like to see after Jesus was risen and he ascended into heaven, we get a glimpse here of Jesus and what happened in heaven as Jesus ascended and took his place in heaven. Revelation 5 and verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and in on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof?" And they looked around, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, which is Jesus, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loosen the seals thereof." Now, what was the book containing here in heaven? I believe it was the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's described as such. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. When Jesus got back to heaven, the ascended Jesus, the risen ascended Jesus, then the spirits of God were sent forth into all the earth, sent down to us. Sent down to the church. This is the other side of Pentecost. Pentecost was when we received the Holy Ghost. And in heaven, this was the other side. It happened after Jesus got there and the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now this morning, are you risen with him? Are you risen with him? Well, the question is, do you have the Holy Ghost within you? And I'd be glad, anybody that is here this morning that is not sure, we'd be glad to help you find that spot. Let's turn to Romans 6 now for the remainder of the message. Reading from Romans 6 in the first verse, or the first two verses. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The question is, let's read verse 21 up in Romans 5. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin was reigning in you. Notice the spelling of the word reigning there. That means like a king is reigning. That as sin hath reigned unto death, the king sin was reigning in your life. And then when you give your heart to God, when you are justified by him, grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There's only two ways, folks, and that is this: sin reigning or grace reigning. Sin or grace. That's the only choice. That's the only way that grace reigns through righteousness unto life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And then it says here in verse 1, it said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in grace, in sin that grace may abound?" We have all this grace from God. And he takes care of our sins. And when we repent, we can experience the grace of God. Should we go on sinning then so we can experience that grace? Well, the Apostle Paul says, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to live any longer therein?" Can we continue in sin? I ask that to you young fellows that are struggling with habitual pornography. Can we continue in sin? I ask you that to you ladies that have trouble with talking too much and slander, and you men too. Can you continue in sin? Can you remain in sin? God forbid. There's the answer, and then we can sit down. Habitual sin cannot continue in the risen person. Why are we trying to two time with God? Can we seek for dead things? We try and seek for dead things among the living, or the living among the dead. Sin for most of us is to resist better knowledge. You know, when I was struggling with sin, I'd love to go to Romans 7, but we don't have time this morning, but I was a Romans 7 Christian where I knew to do well and I couldn't do it. There was no power within me to do it. Sin was reigning in my body. Listen. Sin for most of us is to climb up over the fence of better knowledge and go down the other side and partake of sin, partake of the pleasures of sins, what it says in Hebrews. Sin is that way. We resist better knowledge. But dear ones, tonight, as sin hath reigned, so grace hath reigned. There is no need to succumb to sin. That's what the Bible says. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin reigns. Are you risen? Do you have God's view of sin? The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. If you climb up over the fence of better knowledge, you're a fool. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. Every time we sin, we make a great effort to extinguish our conscience and mind, and we climb up over that fence anyway. Even though God hates all the workers of iniquity, we do it anyway. Romans 6 has some very valuable words for us that were very instrumental in helping my life. And it's the three simple words, is to know, reckon, and yield. Know, reckon, and yield. Verse 3 says, but know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. We identified with Jesus Christ in his death. That doesn't mean water baptism here. Sorry if you think it did, but it doesn't mean water baptism. It means identification. When we're baptized into his death, we are dead to anything but what Jesus wants. Jumping over to Romans 8:13, I'll just read that. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Back when I was young, I was in the throes of a battle with Satan. And somebody showed me this verse. And they said, Joe, if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, kill the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I said, what does that mean in practical terms? And he says, number one, it means you pray to God at the time of temptation. It also means that we associate and make ourselves accountable to the people of God, who in Ephesians says are the building of God. Slowly but surely. It wasn't instantaneous, but I was able to have victory over that very devious sin. Verse 6 says another no, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should henceforth not serve sin. There's a change of allegiance. Dear ones, we love our deliverance, and there's a change of allegiance. Folks, if you still love the world, you're not risen with him. Verse 9 says, you know that sin has lost its dominion. Death hath no more dominion over him. The word dominion is a lord. He has the whip. He's cracking the whip. He's telling you what to do. And that dominion is gone. I'll ask you a couple real questions here. If you're in a courtship, are you experiencing purity? If you're hooked to the internet, are you experiencing purity? Various places in scriptures it says, flee, flee fornication, like Joseph did. Flee, flee. We are in a world today of counseling. You need counseling for everything. You need counseling to overcome. You need counseling to not sin. You need counseling for your sex life. You need counseling. You need, listen, Romans 6 says, know that you're crucified with Christ, and then you'll be free. The next word we want to look at is reckon. All the thought life, reckon, verse 11. Reckon yourselves also to be dead unto sin. Romans 8 says the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. That old mind that is within us, we need to reckon it dead. We need to think that we're dead. David failed with Bathsheba. He didn't reckon himself dead. It said he looked upon, he sent and inquired, and then took her. And he fell into a horrible sin. And the last word is yield your members as servants of unrighteousness. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. The result of the resurrected life, dear ones, is this in verse 19. Simply this, that you have your fruit unto holiness. Free from sin. And when fruit had ye in these things when ye were now ashamed, verse 21 and verse 21. But now me made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have fruit unto holiness and an everlasting life. I will tell you today, this morning, that the Christian life is a life of overcoming. It's not a life of ease, like a lot of people say on resurrection morning, that resurrection is taking care of our problems. Well, when I get to heaven and you get to heaven, you're going to get there because you were an overcomer. You took the battle to the devil and you won. The risen life. Are you risen? It's the only life that ends in eternal life. Marvel not at this, the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves, all the nuance wonders and weavers that are in the grave, the Gingrichs and the Yoders, all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. 6 feet under the ground, yet you're going to hear his voice. And you're going to come forth unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Dear ones, tonight, this morning, God has given us the way in which we can live in this wicked world and be risen with him. Let's avail ourselves of that risen power that comes from his grace himself.